This week's mailbag comes to us from Michelle. The Sunday basket was a lifesaver during the pandemic because I would have lost important papers if I did not have the Sunday basket to keep them in a safe place. In the past, I had tossed my papers in a wicker basket. However, the magic of the Sunday basket system, how the slash pockets stand up, make it possible for me to see what I needed to do. Important tasks could no longer fall to the bottom of the pile as before. It is so easy to organize all of the papers thanks to the system. I love, love, love it. Thank you so much. I'm also thrilled to involve my family in this process. I love knowing that my teen girls will have these true great habits to carry them through life. They will have the time to make their dreams come true.
Do you have an Organized 365 success story? If so, we would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at customerservice@organized365 and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organized 365.
Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Oh my goodness, the paper solution is finally here. Virtually run to your favorite book retailer and get your copy. The paper solution is the proven step-by-step guide for what to shred, what to save, and how to sort all the paper you've been saving in boxes, bins, piles, and files. 85% of the papers you saved can be purged. The paper solution will hold your hand as you start your own big paper sort and your weekly Sunday basket routine. America is a paper-based society. We can have less paper, but we will never be paperless. Listen as I dive into another paper pile to help you get it sorted. This month, each Friday, I am going to deep dive into one of the binders that I want you to use to help you ditch your filing cabinet and replace them with portable, functional binders. Each of these binders, how to set them up, printables to help you get started, lists of exactly what to include and how to include them in your binders are available in the book, The Paper Solution, which just went on sale in August of 2020. This podcast episode, we are going to dive into your household reference binder. This is the very first binder I ever made, and this binder will help you organize the papers for your physical home. I like to think about this binder as your, if your binder was a house, like you know how for your kids or for yourself, you have binders full of information, your passion projects and things like that. If your binder was a physical person, these are all the papers that you would keep for this person in order to take care of them. That's how I look at my household reference binder. I started this reference binder before I even had kids. I just grabbed a navy blue binder. I love the color navy blue, and I remember it because it was navy blue, and it had a clear pocket in the front. You know, those binders that you can put pages in front of? You put 8.5 by 11 sheets in the front underneath the clear cover. I didn't have children yet. I was, we had moved into this home, which I always wanted to be married with a home and children. And I printed out the Proverbs 31 woman in calligraphy, and I put it in that binder, and I put all of the documents in there from having moved into the home. I had no idea that over the last 24 years of owning the same home, how much that one simple binder that I made would be, it would save me so much time and so much headache and so much money. Like this binder has saved me so much money. I started out by just putting anything related to the house in there. Like if it was a warranty or if it was a repair information, I put it in there. And then over time, as I became a professional organizer and I started helping people clear out their filing cabinets and getting their houses ready for sale or moving into a new house, I started to see similarities in the paperwork they had and in the paperwork I had. And I was able to start to create an even more robust reference binder for myself and for others. And eventually, Organized 365 just started to develop these binders on our own. So why do you need a household reference binder? Your household reference binder is super important for keeping all of the information about your house that you would eventually give to another homeowner if you moved out. That is the distinction about what goes inside of this binder. If you have a piece of paper that if you are moving today, or if you are renting and you are going to give back to the landlord, or it is responsible for your renting and you need this information to be able to live in this apartment complex or whatever information that you need for that, that goes in your household reference binder. Again, it's paper that kind of goes with the house, doesn't necessarily go with you. So if you buy a new appliance, or you paint a color on the wall, or you do any kind of repair, all of that information will end up in this binder. So my best story about how, and I have a million stories like this, but the quickest story I have about how my household reference binder has saved me so much time and money is my washing machine. So my washing machine went out, and I, you know, I've lived here 24 years. We've bought a lot of appliances. And unfortunately, for whatever reason, like, appliances are literally only created to last like 7 years. Don't ask me why. I don't understand. But whenever I go to Home Depot or Lowe's, they say, oh yeah, they are not, your appliances are really not designed to last 20, 30, 40, 50 years like they used to be. Like, they're designed to last about 7 years. So our washing machine went out, and I went into this reference binder, and first I went, and I still had my manuals at that time in my filing cabinet. So I went and I got the manual, and I read the manual. And this was a time where we had very little money. We were deeply in debt. I was like, I am going to figure out how to fix this washing machine. Now, I am mechanically inclined, totally. I don't know how to fix appliances, though. Like, I can YouTube. So I YouTubed and I read, and basically it was one of these three different parts, all of which cost like less than $5 each. Like, the parts to fix the washing machine were not expensive. But in order to get to where those parts were, you literally had to like unplug it, turn it upside down, unscrew the whole pretty part that's on the outside so you could get to the inside part. And I'm like, oh, I, you know, there's a lot of room for error here, number one. Number two, I don't know as if I, you know, it's three different things that could be wrong, and I didn't know which of the three it was. So do I fix all three? Do I fix one and then put it all together, turn it right side up again and try it? And if it doesn't, and I was like, you know what, Lisa, you are in way over your head. You're not going to fix this washing machine again. Like, you don't have the skill set. I don't care if you don't have the money, you don't have the skill set. So then I thought to myself, I wonder how old this washing machine is anyway, and how much I paid for it. Well, that was an easy solution. I walked right over to my household reference binder, flipped through my receipts. I saw the washing machine. It was like $450, and I had bought it 6 years ago. I was like, 6 years ago? That's pretty close to 7 years ago. So if I pay to have someone come out and fix it, which is probably going to be a couple hundred dollars, right? The odds of it actually fixing and staying fixed long term are probably not very high. So I thought, okay, well, I'm off to buy a new washing machine. Having that receipt in that binder and being able to go there and find that really quick helped me make that decision between fixing myself, which we knew was a no-go, getting it fixed, or buying a new one. And we ended up buying a new one. Which leads me to manuals. How many of you keep the manuals for everything that comes in your house? Like, I'm talking the manual that goes with the toaster and the Keurig and the mixer and every manual. Like, you open the box, you take out the thing, you keep the manual, you throw the box away. All right, maybe some of you don't throw the box away either, but you need to start doing that as well. I'm guilty as well. Like, I would go through my filing cabinet. We've lived in this house from before babies, and now they're both in college. And when I would go through my filing cabinet and I would go through the manual files, because there wasn't just one, it was like half a drawer full of files. I would go through there, and the kids would be like, in middle school, I'd be like, oh, here's the manual for the car seat. Here's the manual for their little Johnny jump up. Here's the manual for all these things. We didn't even own the thing anymore, but we still own the manual, right? Two thoughts on this. Number one, manuals are for helping you assemble things. Once it is assembled, you probably will never need the manual again, unless when I was telling you my washing machine story, you were saying to yourself, oh, I bet it was the heating element. If I could just get in there and fix the heating element, oh, darn, I could have, she should have told me I could have refurbished that. If that's you, you keep all the manuals you want. If that is your passion project, I give you permission. You can have a filing cabinet for them. You can set up a bookshelf. You're a fixer and you know how to fix stuff. So feel free to keep all the manuals if you want to. For the 99.9% of us that was not your thought when I was telling you the washing machine story, We could just get rid of them. When you get rid of the box, which you should, when you buy things, you can also get rid of the manual. Now, if this gives you heart failure, let me just tell you. First of all, almost every single manual that comes in a box is also available online. Google it, try it. They're all there. All the manuals are available online. And number two, before I went this far in my getting rid of manuals deal that I do, I would rip off the front page of the manual and I would keep that. And the reason why I kept the front page of the manual, and I can easily put that in my binder, is because on the front page of the manual, it usually had the model number. And if you are going to look up a manual online and try to fix things on your own, you need to know the model number, which is also on the item, but not always easy to access. So, manuals can all go bye-bye. They literally can all go bye-bye. If the item is less than $100, you don't need a manual ever. Like, if it breaks, you're just going to replace it because it's broken. It's non-repairable. If it's more than $100, then you may repair it, but you probably are not going to be the person to repair it. Someone else is going to be the person to repair it, and they're not going to ask you for your manual. They will ask you for your model number. So in the Organize 365 binder, we don't even have you keep manuals at all. We have pages inside that come printed in the binder that asks you when you bought it, how much it costs, what the model number, like, it's like a fill in the blank. It's like a Mad Libs for everything that you buy appliance-wise. It'll ask you all the questions. You just fill that in your binder whenever you buy something new, and the box and the manual go right out the door. Okay, so that is the household reference binder. That is why I love it. I have been talking to realtors, and they have been using household reference binders with clients when they are selling houses. This was pre-pandemic, before we weren't going into open houses at all. But we had this conversation. I had this conversation with many realtors about how much more transparent would the sale be, more confident would the buyer be, if they could see all of the records and everything related to that house in one binder. And hands down, every single realtor said, oh my gosh, if we could list houses and have this binder at our disposal to answer our clients' questions when they ask questions about your house, and for them to just be able to flip through it and see, oh, they fixed the HVAC 5 years ago. Oh, here's the receipt for this. Oh, here is the, we just had a deck put on the back of our house. So here is all of the paperwork for the county related to this deck that was put in, and how much it cost, and what the name of the decking material was. And the number one thing that people want to know when you're buying your house is not how old the roof is. It's not any of the things that you would think. The number one thing that people always want to know that realtors don't know and holds people up from making a buying decision, which blows my mind, is what color is the paint in that room? I mean, there is more hours spent every day by realtors and people selling houses trying to figure out the brand name and the color of the front entryway or the child's bedroom than there is on anything else that happens in a transaction in a house. It's, what color is that paint? What kind of carpet is that? Like, if you could just write this stuff down as it happens, when you go to sell your house or when you go to repaint or redo anything, it is all in one binder. So that is the household operations binder, or the household reference binder, sorry, the household reference binder. There are pages inside of the Organize 365 household reference binder for owners, for renters, for all of the things I mentioned and more. And for those of you who just bought the paper solution and you're reading through that chapter, we have a couple of printables for you to download. And then also we have a list in there. Let's see, it's on page 188 and 189 shows you exactly how to create your binder and divide it into five categories. And if you go back on page 187, it'll give you a list of all the different papers you want to gather. So if you're ready to make your household reference binder, you don't have to go through your whole filing cabinet first and go through all the papers in your house. You can just get one binder. You can read this one chapter. You can go through your filing cabinet like it's a scavenger hunt, looking for all those papers I tell you to gather on page 187. Pull those into one table, and you can get these binders made in a day or a weekend. It's super easy to do. All right, next week, I'm going to share with you another binder.